Blog Talk Radio. The recording has started.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Just trying to do a sound check here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. Are you picking me up, missionary fan? Is the sound picking up on that end? Just want to do a quick sound check. Missionary fan? Yes, amen. Glory to God. Amen. We're grateful. We're grateful to the Lord. Amen. Just had to do a quick sound check there, people of God. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your time because, listen, we want to hear the word. We want to be sure that you hear the word. We need to come in loud and clear. Isn't that right? Amen. So we just take the time and opportunity to make sure we got all systems in place. We're grateful tonight. We're thankful that you have elected to join us tonight here at the Prayer News Network Global. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your attention to come and be with us here. We realize there's so much more that you could be doing, but people of God, you made the sacrifice to come and be with us here in the presence of the Lord. And because you did, listen, truly we just believe that the Lord has commanded a blessing for you on tonight. We just want to thank God for you. Thank God for all of our listeners from near and far. We want to thank God for our international listeners, all of our listeners in every corner of the earth almost. I tell you, we're now broadcasting in over 80 countries, and we're so grateful for you. We're so grateful for each and every one of you. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you for coming back, always coming back to be with us. We are grateful for that on tonight. Amen. Over 150,000 faithful, hear what I say, for listeners. Now, that's not even talking about the listeners that just come in and drop in every now and then. Faithful listeners, over 154,000. So we give God thanks and we give God praise for you. We bless God for you. Thank you for telling people about the Prayer News Network. We are grateful. We're grateful to be able to serve. We're grateful to be a part of what God is doing in the earth in this time through this prayer broadcast, through this broadcast. We're just so grateful for it, people of God. Listen, it's a humbling experience. Amen. It indeed is. It's a humbling experience to be, amen, Jesus, counted worthy to be a part of what the Lord is doing. Amen. As that song said, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, please don't do it without me. Don't do it without me. Glory be to God. Whatever piece, whatever little part I can play, whatever part that you place into my hand, glory be to God. I do pray, glory to God, that I'm able to multiply, that I'm able to increase, get an investment. Oh, yes, on all that you put within me, glory to God, and in us. Amen. We heard the message on the other night. The man of God was declaring unto us that the Lord is looking for an investment, return on his investment. All that he has put within us, he's looking for a return. So we bless God on tonight, amen, to be here again in the service of the Lord. People of God, we bless God for you. We thank God for you, each and every one. We thank the Lord for you. What a blessing it is for brethren to come and dwell together in unity. We're in different places throughout the world, but we're of one mind, unified. Glory to God. We've come here to hear what the Lord has to say unto his people, the church. Amen. So we thank God for you. People of God, as you're coming in, we just want to let you know that this is a recorded line and that you can get a copy of the recording afterwards. We'll be so happy to give you a copy of the recording. Just simply text us, let us know that you would like to have a copy, and we'll certainly send it out to you. Once you get it now, we want to ask you to go ahead and send it out to someone whomsoever the Lord places on your heart. To send a copy, send them a copy, people of God. Send them a copy so that they too can be blessed. Amen. So we thank God on tonight for, again, each of you. While you're coming in, we want to ask you to go ahead and get your pen and your paper. We want to ask you, people of God, to go ahead and text a couple of people. Let them know that we're here on tonight. Let them know that you would love for them to come and be a part of this broadcast with you. Amen. Glory to God. I was actually talking. I was approached by a marketing firm on this afternoon. I was approached by a marketing firm and we began to talk business. And I'm telling you, people of God, he was so impressed. He was impressed with the reachability of what we're doing. You know, what we're doing, as they say, foot soldiers. We're doing this, each one reaching one. This is not even with digital, with AI or anything. And as I begin to roll those numbers over to him, people of God, he was shocked. He was shocked. He was shocked. He was very impressed. So listen, people of God, every effort, everything that you do, every broadcast that you send, listen, people of God, is reaching somebody, and that is reflected in the numbers. So we thank God for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Listen, the old-fashioned way, what? It still works. Amen. So we thank God on tonight. Amen. Word of mouth, word of mouth, word of mouth. Glory to God, it still works. So we bless God for you. For, again, telling people about the Prayer News Network, thank you for jumping on those phones, texting people to get them in. People of God, it's not even about the dollar. Amen. It's not about the dollar, but it's about reachability. It's about this word reaching someone so that someone can be blessed, so that someone, oh, my, glory to God, someone might be saved, someone might be healed, someone might be delivered. Amen. Glory to God. That's what it's all about. Amen. This gospel of the kingdom, this gospel of the kingdom, causing people to know and to understand. It's Christ that is in you. He's your hope of glory. Amen. Once you come to salvation, glory to God, Christ in you. Amen. Taking his abode as the king. Hallelujah. In the kingdom. Glory be to God. Amen. That is within you. And once he takes his seat, once he takes his place in you, people of God, listen, listen, listen. Then we begin to live. We're not living until we're in Christ. Amen. For our life, amen, is hid in Christ. We're dead to sin, dead to the old way. Glory to God, but alive in Christ. So we give God thanks. We give God praise on tonight again for each and every one of you. Again, go ahead and send out a couple of text messages. It only take a few. If everyone on the line just send out five, everyone on the line just send out, amen, Jesus, something. Glory be to God. That's how those numbers begin to climb. That's how those numbers begin to, glory to God, increase. So we give God thanks. And while you're doing that, get your pen and your paper. Amen. Because we know that there's a word from the Lord. Get your pen, your paper on tonight. And while you're doing that, I just want to give God thanks and praise for my leaders. Amen, Jesus. As I always say, people of God, we did not get here on our own. Someone had to teach us. Yes. Glory to God. The Moseses. Amen. Glory be to God. Our elders, our forefathers. Amen, Jesus. Glory to God. They showed us how to walk this way. Amen, Jesus. Following after him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Giving that blueprint, laying it out for us so that we now can walk this way. And we give God thanks and we give God praise, amen, for this way. Somebody said this highway, amen, glory to God, this highway of holiness. We give God thanks, we give God praise on tonight, amen. I just want to thank God for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, glory to God. I just thank the Lord, amen. I just have a grateful heart, amen, towards my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, Jesus. That song that says, I just keep falling in love with him over and over again. The song says, he gets sweeter and sweeter, sweeter and sweeter as the day go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I just keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again every day. Amen. Glory to God. It's a love affair. Amen. So we give God thanks and we give God praise for him. We just want to thank God tonight for our founding father, amen, of the Evangelistic Pentecostal Church's ministry on tonight, our celestial intercessor, the late apostle, Dr. S.D. James. Thanking God for him, amen, Jesus. I'm telling you, people of God, he was a trailblazer in the earth, amen. And he laid such a pattern, and we give God thanks and praise for him. Just want to thank God tonight for Mother Carrie James, our founding mother. Thanking the Lord for her. Thanking God for the first family on tonight. Thanking the Lord on tonight. Glory be to God for our senior apostle. Glory be to God, senior apostle Samuel Huggins James on tonight. Thanking the Lord for him. Thanking the Lord for him. Thanking the Lord, amen, Jesus, for the his elect lady. Amen, Jesus. Lady Ray, thanking God for her. Amen. Thanking God on tonight for our presiding bishop, Bishop K.A. Tina. Glory to God, Lady Tina, on tonight. Thanking him for my pastor, Apostle D.G. Taylor Sr., Shepherd Mother Taylor. Amen, Jesus. Just giving him thanks. Glory to God for all of our leaders, amen, that are on the line, for our leaders that come to the line just to listen in, amen. Glory to God, not even to speak, but just to come and listen in. We count it such an honor, amen, Jesus, that you find, glory to God, this place that the Lord has hallowed out, glory to God, this place, amen, that you can come and eat and you can come and be fueled. Amen. We thank God for that on tonight. We just want to thank God tonight for all of our PNN advisors, each and every one of them. We thank God for them on tonight. Amen. The space and place that they hold here, a part of this outreach ministry. We just give the Lord praise. Amen. There's some hardworking people, many of them, amen, holding key positions in their several ministries, in their several churches. But we thank God that the Lord tapped them Amen. He saw something in them, glory to God, that he could use that would help push this ministry forward. Amen. Glory to God. So here we are, people of God, tonight. Here we are, glory to God, assembled. Amen. Thanking God for them. Thanking the Lord for our prayer warriors on tonight. Glory to God, each and every one of them. Thanking God tonight for our scripture reader. Glory to God. And people of God, we thank God for you. We thank the Lord for you on tonight. We bless God for you, each and every one of you. We just want to let you know that we appreciate you. We just want to let you know that you are indeed somebody in God. Amen. And we thank God for you tonight. We do. We thank God for you tonight. Thank you for being here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you always for being here with us here on the Prayer News Network Glow. We just bless him. We thank him on tonight. And as you're coming in, people of God, we want to again ask you to go ahead and invite a couple of people. Invite a couple of people to come and be with us, be with you on tonight. Invite them to come on in. Tell them to come on in. Tell them to come on in, people of God. Tell them to come on in. Tell them there is a blessing. There is indeed a blessing here for them on tonight. Amen. Glory to God. And as you're coming in, people of God, we want to tonight get ready. Get ready for the word on tonight. And we always do start out by sanctifying the line. Glory to God. We start out by sanctifying the line. Amen, Jesus. And tonight we would like to ask, amen, Jesus, our faithful, faithful, faithful sister on tonight, missionary Dorothy Fan, we would like to ask her if she would come to the platform and sanctify the line for us on tonight.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This song says, Jesus' name, so sweet. Emmanuel's name, so sweet. Jesus' name is so sweet. Emmanuel's name, so sweet. Every time I think about Jesus, his name so sweet. Every time I think about Jesus, his name so sweet. Jesus' name so sweet. Emmanuel's name so sweet. And every time I think about Jesus, his name so sweet. Every time I think about Jesus, his name is so sweet. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name, Lord God. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this night, Lord God, giving your name the praise, the glory, giving your name the honor, Lord God. We come before you right now, Lord God, thanking you once again for allowing us to come together tonight. We come tonight, Lord God, asking you to look upon this line tonight, Lord God. Look upon each and every one of us, Lord God, that has come tonight, Lord God. Every home that represents, Lord God, we come tonight asking you to look down upon us, Lord God, and forgive us, Lord God, for all sin, Lord God. Forgive us, Lord God, for all our iniquities, Lord God, all our transgressions. Forgive us, Lord God, for any and everything, Lord God, that we may have said, done, Lord God, even the very thought that we may have thought, Lord God, that was not like you. We come tonight, Lord God, with with a repentant heart, Lord God. We repent tonight, Lord God, for any and everything, Lord God, that may hold us back from coming in your presence tonight, Lord God. We ask you right now, Lord God, to look upon us and create in us a clean heart. Renew that right spirit, Lord God, within us, Lord God. We don't want to come, Lord God, in vain, Lord God, but we want to come, Lord God, with clean hands, Lord God, with a pure heart, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We come tonight, Lord God, asking you to look up on each and every one of us tonight, Lord God. Name by name, Lord God, we come tonight, Lord God, just to ask you to look upon us, Lord God, and hear our prayer, Lord God. Hear our cry, Lord God, this night in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We come just to give you the praise, to give you the glory, and to give you the honor, Lord God. For you are worthy, Lord God. You are worthy of every hand clap, Lord God. You are worthy of every hallelujah. We come tonight, Lord God, just to lift you up in the beautiness of holiness, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we come tonight, Lord God, giving you the praise, Lord God, for another day, Lord God, that you allowed us, Lord God, to have the breath of life in us, Lord God. We come tonight, Lord God, just to say thank you. Thank you, mighty God, we thank you. We come tonight, Lord God, asking you to heal, Lord God, on this line, Lord God. Deliver, Lord God, on this line. Set free tonight in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to hear what the Spirit will say unto us tonight. We come tonight, Lord God. Open, Lord God, to your word, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, we ask for you, Lord God, to save, Lord God, tonight through your word. To save, Lord God, and Lord God, filled with the Holy Ghost tonight, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, some may be coming, Lord God, for the encouragement, Lord God. Some may be coming tonight for healing, Lord God. Some may come, Lord God, because they're ready to render their life unto you, to surrender tonight, Lord God. And we ask for you to move by your spirit and by your mighty powers, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, just bless us, Lord God. Lord God, just bless us, Lord God, the way that you see fit, Lord God. Whatever you see the need, Lord God, have your way tonight. Let your will be done in our lives, Lord God. Look up on the speaker. Bless them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, let your choice anointing, Lord God, come forth tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, help us to receive. Help us to make it easy for the word to come. In the name of Jesus, look on Minister Bradley. Lord God, we're asking you to touch her right now. In the name of Jesus, open up the windows of heaven. Pour out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. For Lord God, you see and you know everything and you know her needs in the name of Jesus. And Lord God, we will be so careful to give your name the praise, to give your name the glory, the honor, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Thank God for that prayer on tonight. Glory to God, amen. Just getting us a little bit closer, for it is time for the word of God, amen. We're going to have our scripture reading tonight by Sister Mary Hollins on tonight. Sister Mary, you have the platform.
Giving honor to God, to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Evangelist Bradley, to our speaker for tonight, to the PNN advisors, to the PNN prayer warriors, and to all of our listeners near and far. Scripture reading will be coming from the 40th chapter of Isaiah, the 28th through the 31st verse. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. I have read to you the 40th chapter of Isaiah, the 28th through the 31st verse. May God have a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and most of all the doers of his holy word.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you, Sister Mary. God bless you, missionary fan on tonight. We are indeed grateful people of God. Amen. As we draw now, bringing our hearts and our minds in for the word of God on tonight. We just believe that the Lord is going to have his way on tonight. How many believe that? Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. We have assembled here. Glory to God. We have assembled here. Yes, we have assembled here. Glory to God, into this place at this time. And there is a word from the Lord for someone on tonight. Amen. And we, for us on tonight, glory to God. And we just grateful to be able to be here to hear the word of God on tonight. We just want him to have his way. Glory to God. Amen, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Before the man of God comes, amen, just this little song of praise that dropped in my spirit. Amen. I just want to sing just a little bit of it on tonight. Amen. Glory to God. It's just a little worship song that says, have thine own way, way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make God, hallelujah. Now tell the Lord, yes. Glory, glory, glory. Yes. Have your way, Lord. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what we want the Lord to do. Have his way. Glory to God. Make us and mold us. Shape us. Glory to God. After his will on tonight. And we give God thanks. Amen. Jesus, because the word comes to do that. Amen. It comes to wash us. It comes to cleanse us. It comes to crush us and take out, amen, the foul way. Glory to God. It comes, glory to God, to make us, hallelujah, to bring us into the image, amen, of his dear son on tonight. So we give him thanks. We give him praise on tonight. We do glorify the Lord. People of God, we want to ask you again, go ahead and invite someone to come. Invite. Amen. Someone to come and be a part of tonight's broadcast. Amen. We are, again, indeed grateful to be here. We thank God tonight for it is. Amen. We have entered into the Sabbath of the Lord. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, people of God, it's that time when we reflect. We stop. We reflect. We give God thanks. We give God praise. We look back over our week and we see the goodness of the Lord. And give him praise, glory to God, amen, and worship him and thank him, glory to God, for the great things that he's done, amen. And so we give him thanks and praise him on the night as we enter into this Sabbath, this time of rest, amen. We thank the Lord on tonight that we have a young man, glory to God, that has committed to coming on every Friday night. We thank God for him on tonight. Thank God for his dedication. Glory be to God. Thank God, amen, for his commitment to come and be here on the Prayer News Network. Amen, Jesus. We thank God for the discipline, people of God. Listen, because there has to be discipline, because there's so many things that come our way, so many things that come to try to deter us from what God has planned, what God has said. So we thank God on tonight for the determination, glory to God, to come no matter what. Amen. To come, glory to God, to hold up the word of God. And we give God thanks on tonight, people of God. We are going to Atlanta, Georgia. Going up to Atlanta, Georgia. Again, we want you to get your pen and your paper. Get ready tonight to hear what the Lord will say unto us. Hear the voice of the Lord in the voice of his servant on tonight. And that, as always, amen, we got to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto us through his servants, his people. Tonight, people of God, coming to us by way of Applied Word Ministries, we give God thanks. We give God praise for this young man. We thank God on tonight for what the Lord is doing in his life. And people of God, we want you to receive on tonight, Minister Craig Cannon. God bless you.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this chance, this opportunity, Lord God. As sister, you was worshiping God. You just stirred my spirit. I was in the same thing, in the same mood of worshiping God, because we have to enter into his presence. To worship, thanksgiving, and praise. Just be grateful for what God has done for us throughout the week and throughout our lives. God is doing a great work in the earth right now. And I'm just so grateful and thankful. I want to read something right quick before we begin this message. And this is for someone out there right now who's going through. And I want to read these words. I won't sing it, but I want to read the words of a song because I'm always fascinated by worship songs, because God placed on the inside of the hearts of people worship songs and worship music, and sometimes the lyrics just bring you to tears. This is a song by Brian and Katie Torwalt. And this is how it goes, and I'll just read the words. It says, "I'll praise before my breakthrough, till my song becomes my triumph. I will sing because I trust you. I will bring my heart. I will lift my song." That just blessed me, and I'll just give you a little taste. And this is how it starts. It says, "Praise before my breakthrough, Then my song becomes my triumph. I will sing because I trust you. I will bring my heart. I will lift my soul. And God reminded me that's what we're to do. We're to praise him before our breakthrough. We will praise him before our breakthrough. Praise him, our breakthrough. Because we know he's working all things out for our good. We are to trust him. We're to praise him before our breakthrough and to trust him. We'll sing this song of triumph. So whatever you're going through right now, whatever's bothering you, whether it's something dealing with sickness or disease, whether it's something dealing with family or job or friends or coworkers or anything that's bothering you, you need to praise God before your breakthrough. That shows him that you trust him. God wants us to trust him. Jesus is seated, standing. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And before he left this earth, he said, it is finished. So it is already done. All we got to do is receive what the word of God says, receive the promises of God. Because Jesus has taken care of it all when he died on the cross and gave his life for us. So just remember that. Praise him before your breakthrough. Praise him, praise him, praise him. If you guys don't know how to praise him, the word of God says praise him in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Well, I said, Lord, I don't know no hymns or spiritual songs, but I can go into the book of Psalms. And I'll open up that Bible and I'll start praising you, praising you. I used to praise him in psalms and bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemed my life from destruction, who crowneth me with loving kindness and tender mercies. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Sometimes you have to put God in remembrance of his word. But the only way you can put him in remembrance of his word, you got to get in this word. And the only way to get in this word, you got to open up this book and you got to open up your mouth. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you really want to get faith, hearing your own words, hearing the words of God coming through your mouth. And let me back up. Hearing God's word come through your mouth. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes you got to stir yourself up when ain't nobody else around. You got to speak the word only, regardless of the situation or the circumstance. Because God's word is the final authority in every situation and every circumstance. His word's the final authority. That's why he don't want us to go by what we see. He wants us to go by what the word says. We don't live by what we see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, throughout the Bible, you'll find that it was by faith, God did things by Abraham and Noah, by faith. See? And faith comes by hearing. We talked last week about the different gates, the gates of the body, the eye gate, the ear gate, the mouth gate, you know, the five senses, basically. And those gates you have to protect because Satan is always trying to get in those gates. Get you to looking at things that you shouldn't be looking at. Get you to saying things that you shouldn't be saying. Get you to hearing things that you shouldn't be hearing. Get you to taste and smelling things that you shouldn't be tasting and smelling. Or get you to touching things that you shouldn't be touching. God already knew. God already knew. I love how God says, renew your mind with the word of God. That's why it's so important for us to get in this book. It's so important for us to get in this Bible. It's so important for us to get the living word. All those other books out there have their words in it, but this book is alive. And this book can change and rearrange your life. All you got to do is be willing to get in it. The word is near you. The word of God that we preach. And God says, faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. So you should always be listening to the word. Listen to the word. For a number of years, I would take the Bible on my little cassette player. Yep, I said cassette player, but I know that's outdated. I had a cassette player that rewound. When it got to the end of the tape, it flipped to the other side without me having to get up and change it. It was one of those special type of cassette players, and the word was just going in my ears throughout the night. I just listened to the word, listened to the scriptures. Listen to the scriptures. Let them sink in. Let them sink in. So you got to pour it in before the Holy Spirit can pull it out. When you find yourself in a situation or a circumstance where you don't know what to do, that's when you got to make sure you got the word of God in you. See, the word of God has to be in you before that situation or circumstance comes up, or you're going to operate in fear. And we're going to see today where fear came from, but you're going to operate in fear. The Lord wants to take you back to Genesis chapter 3. Before we begin, let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, for another opportunity to minister to these, your sheep. I thank you, Lord God, that revelation knowledge will flow freely, uninterrupted and unhindered by any evil, satanic or demonic force. I pray, Lord, that you will speak to my vocal cord, you alone, and you alone will think through my mind. Father, let it be none of me and all of you. I decrease, you increase. I empty, you fill. I am your vessel, Lord God. Nothing else but your vessel. I yield my spirit, my soul, and my body to you right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, my Lord and Savior, who died on the cross for all of our sins, gave his life for us. He became sin for us, he who knew no sin, so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. I give you all praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Turn to the third chapter of Genesis, the third chapter of Genesis. We're going to pick back up where we left off. We started, and the Holy Spirit had laid on my heart to begin to teach the Bible. Start at the beginning, go all the way through. So I'm in Genesis. We went through chapters 1 and 2 in creation. We dealt with the situation where man, we realized that man doesn't mean male, but man is as in human, it's a species, and that species can be male or female. We also dealt with the fact that woman came out of man. God did what I call surgery on Adam and took one of his ribs out and created a woman from his rib. Remember, Adam was created from the dust of the earth, but woman came out of man. She was created from the rib of Adam. And that's the way God chose to do in creation. He created everything, everything. He is the only creator that ever was and ever will be. There are no other creators. Man, we don't create anything. We simply take something that already exists and we change it or redefine it into something else. And if you think about it, you can understand what I mean. We don't create anything. You know, we take wood from trees to build houses. We didn't create that house. We took the wood that already exists in the tree, and we built the house. Only God can create because he is the creator. Now, in the situation in Genesis, we went through Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2. We saw how there were two trees told them about in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And God told them they can eat of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he said, in the day that they eat of that tree, they shall surely die. Well, they ate of that tree, and the death cycle began. And that word death we talked about means to separate from, but it doesn't mean non-existent. You always exist somewhere. When a person dies, they separate. Their spirit and their soul separates from the body. The body has to go back to the dust of the earth from which it was made. That's why when you put them in that casket, that body eventually will decompose and break back down into dirt. We're made of dirt. God created us that way. But we also have the breath of God on the inside of us when he breathed through the nostrils of man, and it said man became a living soul. So man is a spirit. He lives in a body. He possesses that soul. And the scripture that confirms that, the scripture in the Bible that says to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. So if you're absent from the body, that means you've left. And simply, the body is like a house. When a person gets old, the house starts to break down, and that person can no longer live in that house. So God calls them home. It's appointed unto man to die. And then there comes the judgment. That's what the Word of God says. So let's go ahead in chapter 3. Now we talked about the tree. Chapter 3, verse 1, and we're going to break chapter 3 down, and we're going to learn some things in chapter 3. And God's going to show us some things. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field." That word subtle means crafty, very crafty. "The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." Look at that, which the Lord God had made. God made it all, made all of them. "And he said," who said? Who said? "And he said unto the woman," this is the serpent. Now, the serpent is getting ready to start a conversation with this woman. And let's back up. Going to chapter 2, we know that Adam told them not to eat of the tree, right? Told both Adam and Eve, God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree. So they knew what God had told them. God told them, don't eat of the tree. He said, the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. But you can eat of all the other trees in the land. God commanded them not to do that. You can look at chapter 2, verse 16, and it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. But in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And some of you might be saying, well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. God, it says the Lord God commanded the man. Didn't say nothing about the woman. There you go again. Don't confuse man with male. This case, man is human, which means he's talking about the woman and the man, or he's talking about the male and the female. Remember, man is not male. Man is human, which can be male or female. So when it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man," he's talking to both of them, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day thou shalt, that you eat of it, thou shalt surely die." Told them that. God told them that. See that? So he is talking to them. He knows. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute. Hold on. But later on it says he took woman out of man. Yeah, he took the woman out of Adam. Adam was the male side of man, and Eve was the female side of man. So let's get that straight first. So now they've been commanded not to eat of that tree. Now let's look what happens. This is just like the enemy, just like the serpent, just like Satan. Satan, the word Satan means the accuser, by the way. That word Satan means the accuser. He accuses you before God, and he accuses God before you. He's an instigator. He's in the middle. He's talking to you saying, God ain't done nothing for you. What has God done for you lately? Look at what you're going through. Look at all those trials and tribulations. So he gets you to doubt and believing in God. Then he goes before God and say, look at your son John. When the last time he been to church? When the last time he prayed? He don't talk to you. Look at he hanging around his friend. He's doing stuff that he shouldn't even be doing. And he calls himself a Christian. Look at him. You going to claim him as your son? See, he's stirring stuff up. That's what he does. He's the accuser. He's the accuser of the brethren. That's what the Word of God says. So now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Look at that. The first thing he does is what? Question the word of God. I want y'all to catch that. The first thing the enemy is going to do is question the word. Say, wait a minute. What do you mean the word of God? God said it, didn't it? Whatever come out of God's mouth is his words, right? So that's God's word. That's the word of God. So he's questioning the word of God. He's raising doubt in the mind of Eve. That's his old purpose and the plan. If he can get you to question the word of God, then he's got you. See, there ain't no question about the word of God. Whatever God says is truth. Whatever God says is truth, and it's the final authority in every situation, every circumstance. There's nothing to question. It is what it is. But look what he says. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He was crafty. And he said unto the woman, he said,
Okay, if he's going to say something, that means she's got to what? Hear something. And we already know on the Word of God side that faith comes by hearing, right? We know faith comes by hearing. Could it be that something else could come by hearing too? That's why you have to guard that ear gate. He paid attention. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not of every, shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said, stop. The woman's about to have a conversation about something God said. Now, why would she even entertain this as a conversation when she clearly knows that God has said it and that's it? There's nothing else to the question. That's it. See, that's what we lose it right there. See, because you got to trust God's word. But when God says something, it's done. It's a done deal. You can take it to the bank. It is not. There's nothing that's going to stop it. If God said it, it's a done deal. Because God is sovereign. He sees all things. He declared the end from the beginning, so he know everything in between. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said yet, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said, that's her first mistake. She's about to have a conversation with him. That's okay. Let's keep going. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, colon, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said. Now look, she's about to repeat back to him what God said. Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Okay? God said, don't eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Look at that. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Whoa, wait a minute. God said, if you eat of it, you're going to die. But the serpent says, you won't die. Now, who's right? Either he God or he's not. Either he's sovereign or he's not. Either he's the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the author, the finisher of our faith, or he's not. Either he knows all things or he doesn't. See, God couldn't be God if he didn't know everything. God couldn't be, if there was somebody who was more powerful than God, then he couldn't call himself God. If there was somebody who knew something that God didn't know, he could not call himself God. If there was somebody who could do something that God couldn't do, he couldn't call himself God. He has to be the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the all-wise, the everlasting, the Alpha, the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning, the end, the author, and the finisher of all faith. He has to be all those things in order to qualify himself as God. But this serpent is questioning the word of God. This is fact. Matter of fact, he boldly goes against the word of God. He says, ye shall not die. Look at that. Ye shall not surely die. And now, not only is he going to say, you shall not die, now watch what he says next. Verse 5. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Now, wait a minute. Now, why do you know that? Remember, Satan's a fallen angel. Oh, he knows the scriptures. But he also knows how to take the scripture out of context. Use a little bit over here, a little bit over there, and try to make it into a truth. That's why you have to get into your Bible, and you have to read things the way it's laid out. Because a lot of people take a piece here, a piece there, a piece here, a piece there, and then they can make it say something that God never said. So you got to keep things in the context of what's going on in that chapter, in that verse, in that book. God, the Holy Spirit's going to bring it to your remembrance. He's going to match it all up. But you know what? The word of God will always confirm itself. It will always confirm itself. Let the scriptures speak. They're going to speak for themselves. Because God will never contradict himself. He can't. He's God. He knows everything. How are you going to contradict himself? We may lack understanding or we may get confused on some things, but God will never contradict himself. It may look like he did, but he don't. He don't. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For, verse 5, for God know in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Look at that. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, there's a bit of truth to that, but it's not the whole truth. And you're going to see it later on. You're going to see it later on. And when the woman, now here we go. Here we go. Now, she has, first of all, entertained a conversation. Second of all, she's allowed this serpent to question the word of God that she knows to be true. Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. Adam's been walking with God all this time. She knows this is true. This, watch this. This creature who has been created by God now comes up to her and questions the very thing of the Creator. How are you going to question the one who created you? Think about that. I'm going to go against the one who created me as if he didn't have some sort of, he knows everything about me. So, okay, let's keep going. For God doth know that, verse 5, in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Notice it says you shall be as gods. That's a little small g, not a G-O-D. You know, as gods. That's a whole other conversation. There's only one God, capital G, capital O, capital D. There's only one. There's only one God. Now, all these other ancient religions, all things God, the sun God, the moon God, star God, whatever. They have all these other little things that they call gods. They may even have some little statues or some little things that they fall down and worship before. It's like the golden calf you'll find out later in Genesis that they built. But there's only one God. But he had a little bit of truth. Their eyes are going to be open. They're going to know good and evil because that was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So he's not telling her nothing that she shouldn't know. The very name of the tree itself tells you that this tree is going to give you the knowledge of good and evil. And when the woman saw, here we go. This is where we get in trouble today. And when the woman saw that the tree was, I want you to circle that, when the woman saw. That's her eye gate. Look how these senses coming into play now. See, there's five senses that a human has, and we talked about this a second ago. What do you think the purpose of those five senses are? It's to make contact with this world that we're in. Remember, we're spiritual beings living in a human body. We're not human beings living in a spiritual body. I'm going to say that again. We are spiritual beings living in a human body. The Bible bears that out. This is not me making stuff up. It's in the scriptures. Read it. You'll see what I'm talking about. We're spiritual beings living in a human body. And we possess a soul. Man is a spirit. That's what the Word of God says. He lives in a body. He possesses a soul. So we got to make contact with this world that we're in. How do we make contact with it? Through our five senses. We see the trees. We see the cars. We see the buildings. We hear the birds. We hear the planes. We hear the motorcycles. We taste the food. We taste something sweet, something bitter, something tart, something sour. That's our seeing, our hearing, and our tasting. We touch. We touch something smooth, something rough, or something wet, or something dry. See? We touch. And then we smell. We smell something burnt. We smell some roses. We smell some perfume. We smell some cologne. We smell some food being cooked. All these things we use, these senses, to contact the world. What I mean contact the world? Contact the outside world. Because, see, we're living inside this body. So we make contact with the outside world this way. Nobody's ever taught you all that, and that's something that the Spirit of God taught me. And some of you all might know what I'm talking about. But I want to break it down for you by the Holy Spirit that you will understand, because God said, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. That's in Proverbs. I believe in understanding. Some things we're not going to understand until we stand before the Almighty. We ain't going to understand everything, but God wants us to understand a lot of things. And the only way we can understand a lot of things in the world is we get into this word. We want to understand this thing we call life, okay? We want to understand this thing we call life. Declare the end from the beginning. God knows the plans he has for us, the plans to prosper us, to give us hope. See, God knows our future like God knew our past. Do you all realize, and I'm going to take a little sidetrack here, everything we do is based on time. Never thought about that, did you? Everything we do is based on time. At a certain point, we were born in time. At a certain point, we're going to die. At a certain time, we're going to die. We are walking through this thing called time. Or let me put it like this. We're living this thing called life out in a realm that we call time. We wake up at a certain time. We go to sleep at a certain time. We eat at a certain time. We go to work at a certain time. We get off at a certain time. We go to church at a certain time. We watch TV at a certain time. We listen to music at a certain time. We get on the computer at a certain time. We talk to our family at a certain time. We talk to our friends at a certain time. Everything we do is based on time. And it just never seems to be enough time for us. Feel like we're running out of time. And then when we pray, we want God to move on our timetable. But here's what's something interesting. God don't live in time. He lives in eternity. He lives in a realm called eternity, and in that realm, time doesn't exist. That's why he's not moved by our timetable. He does it when he wants to do it. And he know, and guess what? The time he does what he needs to for us is always right on time, even if we don't understand, even if we don't see it. You know why we don't understand? Because we don't see the whole picture. We don't see the big picture. We only can see a little small segment of this thing in life called time. Change what happened yesterday, and we can only try to hope for the future. But that's why God says, okay, we're living in the now. We have lived the past. We have hope for the future, but we're living in the now. What I mean, living in the now. You ever wonder why the scripture says now faith is? It stuck that little word in there with the scripture. It says now faith is. It says now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But it says now faith is. But God, why you put that little word now in there? Every word in the Bible has a meaning. That's a now faith. Faith is now. Faith is not in the past because you can't change it. Faith is in the future. We hope for the future, but faith is now. But see, when we get in God's presence, we're no longer going to need faith. He's going to be revealed to us. And when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So think about that. We're living in time. So here we go. Verse 6. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that. For God, verse 6, and when the woman saw, there we go, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she's using that eye gate, she see the tree was good for food, and that it was, watch this, pleasant to the eyes. Look at that. So she see this tree, and it looked good, man. Oh, it's pleasant to the eyes. You see where this is going, right? See, that's what gets us. Sometimes things look good to us. It looks pleasant to the eyes. What comes after it looks good and pleasant to the eyes? Watch. And the tree to be desired. We desire it. That chocolate cake looks good. Oh, it's pleasant to the eyes. I want it. I desire it. I got to have me a piece of that chocolate cake. I got to have me a piece of that cheesecake. Oh, my God, look at that. Oh, there's a bottle of cognac there. I gotta drink me some of that. But there goes some weed. I gotta smoke me some of that. Or some crack. I gotta sniff me some of that. But there's a woman right there. Oh, my, she look. I gotta have me some of that. See, this is how it all starts. That eye gate and seeing something. That's why certain things we don't need to be looking at. We need to turn away. Turn away. Don't look at it. I'm not gonna look at it. I'm not gonna open that gate up. And when the woman saw that the tree was good, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. Look at that. A tree to be desired to make one wise. So she's like, I want to be smart. That tree looking mighty good over there. It's real pleasant to my eyes. I'm desiring. You know what? It's going to make me wise, too. All three of those came. What comes next? She took. She took. That's the way it works today. We see something we want, we're going to take it. We go at it. See, y'all don't know this thing. This book is alive. I'm telling you what happens. I'm going to tell you the process of how you slip into sin. I'm telling it to you right now. No matter what it is. No matter what it is. Because, see, the Word of God says, this is why you got to get in this book. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, the only thing you're going to find in this world are the eyes and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, desiring something very strongly. That's a fleshy desire. You know, whether it be drugs, alcohol, sex, whatever. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. You see a real, you see a, you know you're not supposed to eat it, a cheesecake, a chocolate shake, a cake. You see a woman, you see a man, you see, you know, a car. You see some object or a home or whatever, the lust of the eyes. And watch this, the pride of life. You think you're better than everybody. You got every degree behind your name, the A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. And you are at the top of the echelon and can't nobody tell you nothing because you know everything. And you're prideful. You're prideful. And the Word of God says in Proverbs that pride comes before a fall. See, this word teaches you about life. That's why you got to get in it. I'm telling you, it'll tell you everything. Some of y'all right now are being shocked at what I'm saying because you know what I'm saying is true. Some of y'all have been through these crises. We all been through it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have to do anything to sin. You were born into sin. You were born into it, right? You were born into sin. It says, I was born into sin, and iniquity did my mother conceive me. That's why you have to be born again unto righteousness. The God already knew. When Adam and Eve messed this thing up, they messed it up for all humanity. Everybody born after them, man, woo, good God Almighty, we born into sin. Some of y'all, that's the way. I ain't never did nothing wrong. I ain't never sinned. You were born. You have to do nothing wrong. God is telling you right now the only way to the Father is to the Son. Through the Son, you must accept Jesus. You've got to get born again. That's what he said. You got to get born again. Born into righteousness. Let me keep going. And when the woman saw, verse 6, that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired, look at that. You can circle the woman saw. You can circle good for food. You can circle pleasant to the eyes. And you can circle desire to make one wise. All those are temptations that drawing her to want that, to want the fruit of that tree. And watch this. As a result of all those temptations she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. But listen at this. Not only did she take it and did eat, and gave it, and gave also unto her husband. Oh, wait a minute. Look at that. Oh, what? Oh, stop. Pause. Stop. Her husband. Wait a minute. Genesis 1, 2. This is the first time we've seen that word husband. First time we've seen that word husband, right? See, in God's eyes, they are one. So in God's eyes, they're married. For those of y'all who don't understand marriage, let me break it down to you. See? No, Adam and Eve didn't have no ceremony and nothing like that, but they're one. We go through all the ceremony and we get married. My wife and I, we got married, right? We both got married. My last name is Cannon. Her last name is Burnett, right? And when a person gets married, at least in this country, they take on the man's name. So my wife's last name is Cannon. So God doesn't see, he doesn't see Melanie, and he doesn't see Craig. He sees Cannon. That's all he sees is that one name. So it says that when a man gets married, he leaves his mom and he cleaves unto his wife, and they become one. See, that's what marriage is all about. Adam and Eve became one. That's why he's using this word husband here with her. And gave unto her husband, and he did eat. Now, as a male, and I'm going to say man, meaning male in this case, I'm a little disappointed in that. Adam knew good and well God told him not to eat of that tree. And his wife knew good and well that God told him not to eat of that tree. But since the woman came out of the man, I'm kind of holding Adam responsible for this error in judgment or this error or this mistake. I'm like, Adam, I ever wonder, I wish I could talk to Adam. But Adam, man, you should have told your wife, man, look, no, what have you done? You know good and well God told us not to eat of that tree. You know, come here, we can't do that. No, I can't eat of that tree. We won, but this is one time. And you know what? We're going to go throw ourselves on the mercy of God and say, God, have mercy on my wife. She made a mistake. And you know what? I wasn't around to protect her, so it's my mistake. I take full responsibility because I should have been there when she was having that conversation with that serpent. I would have shut this down quick and say, no, 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 you better get up out of here. You must not know who you're talking to. God created me. Do you actually think I'm going to get, wait, hold it. He created you as well. You think I would go against that? Praise God. Okay, so as a result, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Look at that. He did eat. And watch what happens next. And the eyes of them both were open. Okay? So see that bit of truth? The eyes of them both were open. But let's go back up to verse 5. Did not the serpent tell them the same thing? For God doth know in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open. See, that's the bit of truth. He was right about that. He knows the scriptures, but he's using it out of context to convince you. See, the lie in that bit of truth is, and ye shall be as God. That's the lie part of it. That's the lie part of it. Knowing good and evil, that's the true part of it too. It's like a sandwich. He put truth on top, a lie in the middle, and a lie, I mean, a truth, excuse me. He put a lie on top. Let me see if I say it right. No, let me back up. He put that truth on top, a lie right there, and the truth on bottom. Truth on top, your eyes shall be open. Think about a sandwich, a hamburger, if you will. The top bun says your eyes shall be open. That's true. The burger says you shall be as God. That's not true. The bottom bun says knowing good and evil. That's true. See? So if he can mix it in, he can convince you that the whole thing is true. And if you don't know the word of God, you will fall for it every time. I'm here to tell you, you'll fall for it every time. That's why God gives us a spirit of what is called discernment. What is discernment? Discernment is when you know something ain't right, but you can't pinpoint it. I can't quite pinpoint that. You know, I hear what you're saying, and it sounds good and everything, but something ain't right. Oh, I've fallen for it before. I've fallen for it before. I've met people, and I'm really a people person, and I have a compassion for people. That's the way God designed me. That's the way I'm made up. So I give people the benefit of the doubt. And when they start talking to me, you know, I'll listen, I'll conversate and have a conversation with them. And then I'll go to my help me, my wife, introduced to my wife. She's like, okay, how you doing? Good to meet you. And later on, I talk to my wife and say, you know what? Such and such seemed like a pretty good guy, you know? And my wife will say something like, I'm like, what do you mean by Like, yeah, he seemed pretty good, but I don't know. Just be careful. What are you talking about? Be careful. You know, seems like, see what I'm saying? That's discernment. Something ain't right there. Something ain't what it seems to be. See? That's why God put us together with our wives. Sometimes we need that balance. See? I always tell people that my strengths are her weaknesses, and my weaknesses are her strengths. But watch this. Together, we have no weaknesses. Because that's what balance is. Where I'm weak, she's strong. And where she's weak, I am strong. And together, we're strong. See? That's the way God balances us out. And the eyes of them both were open. Look at that. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. Oh! Now, I have a theory about that. I believe that when their physical eyes open, spiritual eyes shut. And why is that? So why do I say that? Because all along, when Adam and Eve was there with God, they had no problem. I believe they were walking in the spirit. Now, the word of God that says in the scripture says, walk in the spirit so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I believe all that time, their spiritual eyes was open, and they saw God, and they walked with God in the garden in the cool of the day, and they talked with God. They was just having a good old time with God because they were seeing God in the spirit. Not the physical, but in the spirit. Even though they were physical beings, I believe their physical eyes were shut. And I know that's hard to claim, and this is just a theory. This is not scripture, but I want to share with you what my theory is. They were seeing everything in the spirit, everything they saw in the spirit. They had physical eyes, but their physical eyes wasn't seeing in the physical. They weren't seeing in the physical world. They were seeing in the spiritual world. I believe that. And I believe when they ate of that tree, their spiritual eyes shut and their physical eyes opened. And when their physical eyes opened, they saw this world and they started seeing things all around them. And they realized, watch this, they never knew that they was naked. They never knew that. Why? Because they was walking in the spirit. But when they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that not only shut their spiritual eyes, that word death means to separate from, but it never means non-existence. Remember I said that? I believe when their spiritual eyes open, I mean when their spiritual eyes shut, their physical eyes open. And at that very point, they separated from God. That's what God said, the day you shall eat of this tree, you shall surely die. You shall surely separate from me. I believe they separated from God at that point. And watch their response and their reaction. It's going to prove out what I'm saying. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew. Look at that. They knew they were naked. They never knew they was naked before. So what changed? That fruit. That fruit shut their spiritual eyes. They opened their physical eyes, and they looked around, and now they had the knowledge that, hey, wait a minute. We're walking around naked. Oh, we got to cover ourselves. So they sewed, verse 7, they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking. Look at that. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking. Now, it's interesting. Eating that fruit didn't impact their hearing gate, but it did impact their seeing gate. Remember the senses? See, taste, touch, smell, hear. But it's interesting that the hearing gate, they still could hear God. They still could hear God. But they couldn't see God. Praise God. Look at that. They couldn't see it because the spiritual eyes are shut. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife, boom, stop, his wife. Okay, there it is. We saw husband over there in verse 6, and now we see wife over here in verse 8. There's your marriage right there. They're one in God's eyes. They're one in God's eyes. See, that's why it's so important to read the scriptures. It's just fascinating to me, the stuff that you will find. You want to understand life, you got to get in this book. I'm telling you right now, you can throw every other book away. You keep this word, it's going to explain everything you need to know about life. Everything. I'm telling you, everything is in here. I work in technology. Even technology is in here. God says in the last days, knowledge will be increased. Knowledge will be increased. Not only knowledge of his word, but also technology. The technology is being increased. We're getting all this stuff, like the sister mentioned earlier. She was talking to somebody in marketing and it had nothing to do with AI, which is called artificial intelligence, AI. What is artificial intelligence? Come on, that's just something we make up, create anything. So I love the way we just create words out of the blue, artificial intelligence. What's artificial about it? Either you're intelligent and it's real or it's not. But anyway, that's another story. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. Wait a minute. Hold it. Stop. Time out. Why are you hiding yourself? What changed? All of a sudden we got to hide ourselves from God? Yes, because now we know we're naked. We don't want God to see us naked. Or, watch this. Fear came in, and now they're afraid. All this happened over some fruit of a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Look at the things that happened to them. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking. They heard, I want y'all to remember I told you, slow it down. And they heard. Where did they hear? The voice. The voice of who? The Lord God. What was he doing? Walking. In the garden, in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves. Isn't that just like us? when we sin against God, we go hide. We don't want to come to church. Oh, no, I ain't coming to church, man. Boy, if y'all knew what I was doing up in the club the other night, oh, no, I can't go up in there. I can't go up in there. Man, I was doing some things I shouldn't have been doing. No, I ain't going today, man. I'm gonna let it chill down a little bit. You know how we hide from God? Or we sin and we, you know, that conscience on the inside of us getting to us now. We don't want to see nobody. We don't want to talk to nobody. We just want this little, you know, thing to pass. We want to forget about it. We want to stick it way back there on the back of our mind as if it's going to vanish, as if God didn't see it, you know. If we're smart, we're going to run to God and repent. And we're going to say, God, I messed up. I knew that what I was doing was wrong. And I know you saw it. I can't hide nothing from you. Forgive me. You know, cleanse me of this unrighteousness. Go to Romans 10:9-10. Everybody know it. If you don't know it, that's the one that cleanses you. If you confess your sins unto him, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and watch it to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. To cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I believe that verse was for Christians because a lot of Christians gonna still do sinful things, and they need to be cleansed. Thank God we have a Father in heaven. We have an advocate who sits on the right hand of him interceding for us. Say, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. They're my dad. Or when Satan goes to God and say, hey, they guilty. See, look at him. Look what he did. He guilty. Now, he's a Christian, but he's guilty because he just did something that he shouldn't have done. And what Jesus look over to God and say, hey, just remember the blood. The blood took care of that. The blood paid the price for that. That price has been paid. I paid the price for the sins of the world. I already knew he was going to get in trouble even after he got saved. Now, what's our part in it? Go before God and confess it. But, you know, Lord, I messed up. I did this, and it felt good, but it was wrong. I shouldn't have done it. And you saw it. I can't hide it from you. I cannot sit up here and not be transparent with you because I don't want to stand before you one day and sit up here and try to lie when you already know everything. So you know what? I'm going to confess the sin out of my mouth to you. You're going to hear it from me. You're going to hear it from nobody else. You're going to hear it from me. And I'm going to ask you to cleanse me of this unrighteousness and help me not to ever do that again because I am your child, born of your spirit, filled with your spirit, and led by your spirit. See? Stay transparent with God. God loves us. Stay transparent with him. Child of God, you've given your life to Christ. You better stay transparent with him. We're living in a fallen world. There's going to be all kinds of temptations around you. That's why you got to stay in this word. The word protects you from that, see? Some days you're going to win it. Some days you're not. But you never give up on God because God never gives up on you. That's why he sent his only son to die on the cross for you. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Look at that. They ran in the forest. They're going to hide themselves. Now, how are you going to hide from God? Come on, y'all. Really? Really? But that's what we do. It's so interesting. Humans, everybody's guilty of it. Y'all guilty of it? I'm guilty of it? Everybody. How are we going to hide from God? Job tried to hide from him. We're going to read about that, too, when we get in the book of Job. Everywhere he went, God was there. God tell Job to go left, he go right. God tell Job to go up, he go down. He go in the complete opposite way what God is telling him. And for some strange reason, he always ends up in the presence of God because God is everywhere. He's omniscient, all-powerful. Omnipotent is all-powerful. Omniscient is all-knowing and all-wise. He's everywhere. He's Jehovah Jireh, all-provider. He's El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God, the many-breasted God. So many names, but they all represent the characteristics and nature of God. And the Lord God, verse 9, called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Where art thou? Now, you know God ain't going to ever ask no question he don't already know the answer to. He knew exactly where he was. But you know what? Let's go ahead and entertain this thought. Where are you, Adam? And he said, this is what Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Bingo. There you go. That's where fear comes from. See that? Fear has entered into his heart. He was never afraid of God before. He was never afraid of God before, but now all of a sudden he's afraid of God. He ate that fruit. See, God already knew, man, if they eat this fruit, they're going to know the knowledge of good and evil. Their spiritual eyes going to be shut. Their physical eyes going to be open. They're going to see themselves as naked, as if that was a bad thing. God created you. And they're going to leave faith and enter into fear. That's what it is. See, they're going to leave faith in it. I believe you had a coin on one side is faith, on the other side is fear. But God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So we know that fear did not come from God. I heard that voice in the garden, and I was afraid, verse 10, because I was naked and I hid myself. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So fear entered in. Now he realizes he's naked. Now he's going to hide. That's just what we do. We hide. Like we can hide from God. Man, I'm telling you, I've lived long enough to know you cannot hide from God. God can see in the booth, in the back, in the corner. God can see in the darkness because he light. You can't hide from it. See how transparent I am? A lot of y'all want to be transparent like that. You can be transparent like that with God. You can be free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Why can you be free like that? Because God knows you. He knows the number of hairs on your head. He knows everything about you. He knows your inside out. He knows your heart. No, you can't hide nothing from it. You really can't. It's amazing how we try to do that. I'm guilty of it too. I've just gotten so transparent with him now that it's kind of like, God, you saw it. Man, that was messed up, Lord. What in the world? You be sitting there and a thought come to you that's just wicked and evil. You'd be wondering, like, where'd that come from? Where'd it come from? Satan trying to just insert some thoughts in it, see? Put a bad thought in your head. That's why God said you got to renew your mind. When that thought comes, it's gonna come, but you don't have to overcome. You gotta watch this. What did Jesus did to Satan? Speak the word only. Just speak the word of that thought. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. You'll see that later on when we get to the New Testament when Jesus was tempted on the mountain. Satan came before him and started offering him all these things. And all Jesus did was speak the word. He spoke the scriptures, protection. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the example he was giving us. Speak the word only. You'll see another story in the Bible about a centurion soldier. He wasn't even a believer. But he had observed Jesus and all these miracles going on. And for some reason, everything Jesus said, he saw. Where did that pattern come from? That came from in Genesis when God spoke the world into existence. And said, light in me be. Let there be light. And there was light. Everything God said, he saw. But this centurion soldier's looking like, well, Jesus speaking stuff. So, and I'm seeing it happen as he speaks. I don't know how he's doing this. Or is this some type of magic trick? But I have observed him long enough that everything he said, he sees. And I see it. So, you know what? When that centurion soldier had somebody sick at his house and he went before Jesus and said, you know, I got a sick servant at my home. Would you heal him? Jesus said, okay, come on, show me where he at. He's like, no, you ain't got to go to my house. Just speak the word only. Jesus was fascinated by that. He was fascinated. Speak the word only. What did he say? Speak the word. Jesus said that was great faith. Jesus said he ain't seen that kind of faith in all of Israel. Here we got a Roman soldier speaking that. They speak the word only. And listen to what the Roman soldier said. He says, I'm a man on authority, just like you are a man on authority. See, the Roman soldier understood something. He said, when I say this, my soldiers do this. When I say that, my soldiers do that. So speak the word only. In other words, I understand authority. And you have some sort of authority that whatever you say happens. I don't know how you're doing it or if it's magic or what. But I have observed you long enough to see that whatever you say, I've seen it happen. So you ain't got to come to the house. You ain't got to come to the house and lay hands on this man. Just speak it, and he's going to be healed. This soldier had such an assurance in that. He's like, you ain't got to come to the house. As soon as you say it, I know it's done. You know how I know that? Because if I say something to these soldiers over here that I'm a general over this platoon, they're going to do it because I have that authority. I understand authority. Like you understood authority. See? That's what we got to understand, see? This book is so fascinating to me. It's just, oh, my God. I could eat this book up. I'm serious, literally. It's so good. It's just so, and it just gets delicious year after year after year. Book, if I didn't have to go to work, do the job, pay the mortgage, do all this other stuff called in life, be like, Lord, man, I believe Enoch did that. God took him. Enoch was the first man to be raptured up. See, God already showed us a pattern that a human can be raptured alive. Some of us are going to be taken alive. We ain't going to see death. You say, well, that don't make no sense. I can show it to you in the Bible. Enoch. There was another one, Elijah. See, everything God's going to do, he's already done. In other words, God has already given us an example of what he's going to do in the future. You ain't got to believe it. Read the book. That's on you. Read the book. Get in the book. You'll see exactly what I'm saying. It says, and Enoch was not, but God took him. That's in Genesis 2, for he was not, but God took him. God was so pleased with him. I believe Enoch wanted to get so close to God, man. He wanted to just like, you know what, don't nothing else even matter, man. I need to know you. I want to know you. I want to know everything about you. I want to know your thoughts. I want to know your everything is possible about you. Everything. That's what God wants us to just fall in love with him. He will change your life. It'll be people showing you favor. They won't even know why. Something about you different. I've had it happen. You know what? Well, anyway, get back. And he said, I heard the voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Circle that word, I was afraid. That's showing you fear came in because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, verse 11, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And you know God know the answer to these questions. He's just entertaining the thought. Okay, I'm going to give you the opportunity to come clean. All right? Who told you was naked, first of all? Wait a minute. Who else could tell you was naked? Let's see. There's Adam, there's Eve, and there's all these animals. Oh, wait a minute. The serpent actually talked. Okay. Didn't catch that part, did you? The serpent actually talked. He was some kind of animal that talked. Y'all didn't catch that, did you? One but two, let's say this. One but two humans on the earth, and that was God, right? So we know the man and the woman can talk, and we know God can talk. We saw that throughout creation. So now all of a sudden this serpent talks. This animal talks. Look at that. This animal talks. Wow. Didn't think about that, did you? This animal talks. How come ain't none of the other animals talking? Or are they? Maybe they're talking among themselves in their own language. They got their own little language that we don't understand. I know that sounds crazy, but it might be a bit of truth to that because this animal right here truly talked to this woman. Had a whole conversation with it. Right? Okay. Yeah, you can say, well, the serpent, that Satan was using that serpent. Yeah, well, hey, he used an animal to talk to a woman, to a human. Okay, let's keep going. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Okay, Adam, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come clean. Let's see how transparent you're going to be with me. I already know the truth, but let's just see if you're going to lie or not. You know what I'm saying? You're going to lie to your creator? You're going to lie to the one who created you? Let's see what you're going to say. And the man said, okay, let's listen to what Adam said. The man said, the woman, oh boy, Adam, you're not going to take no responsibility, brother. None whatsoever. You're just going to put it on the woman. Yep, looks that way. The woman whom thou gavest me, whom thou gavest to be with me. Wait a minute. Not only are you going to blame the woman, but you're going to put it on God, too. You gave this woman to be with me. Praise God, Adam. Praise God. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Okay. Adam's son, I got something to tell you now. Wait a minute now. Now, this woman came out of you, right? Didn't I take your rib and create her? Okay. All right, so don't act like she's separate from you. She wasn't created from dirt. She was created from you. So no matter how you look at it, if you want to put it on her, it still comes back to you. So she came out of you. Bro, come on now. She came out of you. Well, let's just keep going with this story. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me. Yeah, I gave her to be with you because you needed to help me. You was lonely. So now you're trying to put it on me? Praise God. Okay. She gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Okay. All right. Well, hey, you told the truth. That's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. But your tone was like, it's her fault. And really, God, it's your fault because you created her out of me and gave her to me. Had you not ever created her out of me and gave her to me, this would have never happened. Don't you see that? It's so funny. This would never happen. But just to say, for the sake of giggles, the woman who thou gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree. Why did he just say the woman gave me of the tree? Why you got to put that little part, whom thou gavest to be with me, in there? You see what I'm saying? He didn't have to put that part in there. But that's what he said. That's what we do now. We want to take responsibility for nothing. We want to just put it on somebody else. Because that's what we do, you know? We put it on somebody else. It's their fault, the reason I'm in the situation I'm in. Nope, it's your fault. You need to take responsibility for it. Do something about it. God gave you everything you need. Don't wait for somebody else to give you something. Go out there and make something out of all the stuff that God has created for us. He'll give you ideas, concepts, and insights, inventions. God knows how to give you everything. There's a cure for cancer out there right now waiting to be discovered. He just told you over there in Genesis where all the gold was at. He told you that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 11. The name of the first is Pison. That is it which compassed, that word compass, like circle, circles the whole land of Havilah where there is gold. So if you want to know what gold is, I would go do some research, find out this place called Havilah. What is the name of that country today? You find out what the name of that country is, and you know gold is there because the Bible just told you where the gold was at. Man, this word is so good. We just don't listen. If God said gold there, gold is there, okay? God said this, and the man didn't say it. I don't need to know nothing else. That's where the gold at. The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, okay, all right, Adam. All right, I've had my conversation with you. It didn't happen. You didn't tell me. Okay. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? What have you done, woman? And the woman said, watch what the woman said. The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Ain't nobody taking responsibility. Adam blames it on Eve. Eve blames it on the serpent. And Adam almost blamed it on Eve and on God. Because God created Eve, and if God never would have created Eve, then guess what? Maybe it never would have happened. And then Eve, instead of her taking responsibility, she said the serpent gave it. Yeah, the serpent beguiled it. The serpent tricked me, is what she's saying. The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Well, it's funny. Eve didn't say the serpent whom you created beguiled me. She could have said that, too, and tried to put God in it. She killed, and she's like, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, now God says, okay, I done dealt with Adam, I had a conversation with Adam, I had a conversation with Eve, now I'm about to have a conversation with the serpent. See how God keeps digging and digging and digging until you get to the truth. See? That's the problem with our justice system today. The word of God says that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let it be established. That's what the scriptures say. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let it be established. See, even our justice system is in the Bible. As a matter of fact, the whole justice system is based upon scriptures in the Bible. Man thinks he created it. We're not that smart. We give ourselves so much credit. Everything in here, our whole system is in this Bible. Everything's in here. When I say everything, I mean everything. The whole justice system is in here. The courtroom, the judge. It's like, even if you think about it now, if you go to a courtroom, at least over here in America, for those of you all in other countries, in the courtroom you have a prosecutor, you have a defense attorney, and you have a judge, and you have the person who's being accused. Now, the prosecutor is the accuser. That would be Satan's role. The defense attorney would be the one defending the person being accused. That would be Jesus. Who do y'all think is the judge? The judge is God. Because God's the only one who could be the judge. That's his role. So Satan's coming into the courtroom and saying, John is guilty. He did this, he did this, he did this, he did this. And Jesus is over there defending them. Jesus, all Jesus got to say is, you know what? The blood has paid the price. It really ain't even a defense because, you know, whatever y'all find him guilty or not guilty, the blood is already taken care of it. So they like you going to prison because the blood has already paid that prison time. And they like you going to put him in an electric chair because the blood has already paid for his life. See, the whole court system, I believe like that's the way it is in heaven. Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, interceding for us. He's praying for us. And he's also defending us based on his blood, not based on what we've done or what we haven't done, but based on his crucifixion and resurrection and shedding of blood for us, based on the fact that he took on that coat of sin so that we could put on that coat of righteousness. The whole court system is there, too. Didn't see that either, did you? All that's in the book. And the Lord God said, verse 14, I'm going to end at this, unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shall thou go, and the dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. Now listen at this. God didn't ask the serpent anything. You notice that? He said, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this. He ain't asking no questions. He ain't having no conversation. He knew he had done it. Only person he questioned was Adam and Eve. He didn't question the serpent. He already knew. He just went on ahead, watch this, and announced judgment on the serpent. Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all the cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. Let's keep reading. I'm going to go ahead and finish up. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy heel, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. When I read that, I think about a snake. Most women don't like snakes. That serpent is like a snake. When women see a snake, they go crazy. They try to kill him. The first thing they want to do is chop the head off. Because if you take the head off, then you don't have a snake no more. There's no threat. But now the snake is trying to bite them. They're going to bite them on the heel. They're going to bite them somewhere down low because that's where they're at. They're crawling on their belly, eating dust all the day, so they can only bite them around the feet. So God said, I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman, between your seed and thy seed. In other words, the woman's going to be bruising your head, and you're going to bite her on her heel. And the woman said, and unto the woman he said, now God is announcing judgment. Look at that. Okay, he went from Adam to Eve to the serpent. Now he's going to reverse that. He's going to announce judgment on the serpent. Then he's going to come and announce judgment on the woman. And the last one he's going to announce judgment on is going to be Adam. You see that? It's a process. And I will put enmity, verse 15, between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman, he said, here we go. Here comes her judgment. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Look at that. The woman got judged, right? It's interesting, I think, that God, his judgment for the woman is dealing with childbirth. Isn't that interesting? It's dealing with childbirth. Remember, Eve wasn't born. She was created out of Adam. But that's kind of like a birth. But it's not the birth that we think of today. He took a rib out of Adam and he created Eve, all right? Or woe man. That word woe means out of man. He took a out of man. That's what it means, out of man. But listen, that the judgment is coming on conception. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Look at that. That's childbirth. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. For all you women out there who are listening right now and you have kids, you know exactly what he's talking about. Holding that child for them 9 months was a long time, and it was difficult. Let's just say that. And when it was time to give birth, it was even more difficult because of the pain that you had to do just to birth the child into this world. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And that is the true statement even to this day. and thy desire shall be to thy husband. Your desire is going to be to your husband. You're going to desire your husband like you never, a woman desires a man. That's where that's coming from. And he shall rule over thee. And if I say the husband is ruling over the man, the husband is ruling over the wife. That's the same case today, too. Whether you're even in other countries, the husband rules over the wife. Because God sees the head of the woman is the man. The head of the man is Christ. The head of the woman is man. And the head of Christ is God. So that's the order God laid it out in. That's in the scriptures, too. I'm not making that up. And unto Adam, he said, now he's going to announce Adam. Now notice this conception, his birth, his birth. And it even involved birth with the serpent. Because remember he said, thy seed and her seed, that deals with birth, the seed, children, those are seeds, right? That's birth. Conception, that's birth. Now let's go back to Adam. So he done dealt with something dealing with birth with the serpent, something dealing with birth with Eve. Let's look at Adam. Verse 17, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, you listen to your wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. First is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Okay, wait a minute now. Hold on. We dealt with birth, right? The seed of the serpent, that deals with birth, right, the seed. And then conception with the woman, that deals kind of with birth too, right, how she birthing children. Well, what about Adam? What about Adam? Okay. Remember, Eve wasn't born. She was created from the rib of Adam, right? But that's kind of like a birthing process. It's just a different process than today. But what about Adam? Adam wasn't born either. What was Adam created from? He was created from the dust of the earth. He was created from the ground. So what? Look what God does. He says, cursed is the ground. Why do you think God cursed the ground? Because that's what Adam was created from. That's the birthing process for him. Praise God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That's the birthing process. He came from the ground. Eve came from the rib of him. But why did he, so Eve was created from that rib, but watch this, Eve is a woman, and she can bring forth children. So when she brings forth children, that's going to be hard for her because of what she did. That's why women, that's why all y'all have needs, when y'all get ready to have a child, that's why y'all go through so much pain, because of Eve. Eve did this. And all the men, the reason it's so hard for that ground to yield forth that farmers, to yield forth that food from the ground, and you got to work hard out there and till that ground and break that ground up and plant some seed and water and put some fertilizer in it, and you're hoping that the sun will come out and that little leaf will pop through the ground and you can get something. That's because of Adam. Adam did that. See? All that's still true today. The word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It don't change. Sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of his life. Okay? Yeah, in sorrow we eat of it. What do you mean? We plant our food, right? The food comes from the ground, right? That's a whole other sermon, too. Good God Almighty. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm studying that out now. It's a lot of stuff that came from the ground. We don't realize how powerful the ground is. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. I'm telling you right now that there's a mystery in this ground thing. I'm telling you. Praise God. Thorns and thistles shall eat it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. Look at that. This is all the judgments, verse 19, O Adam. God said, in the sweat of your face, which means you're going to work real hard to make that ground bring forth something. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, until you return to the ground. Watch this. For out of the ground was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Remember I was talking about when a person dies? He can return to the dust of the earth for which he was made. There it is right there. God said you were made from dust and you're going to return to dust. So I'm here to tell you that you're going to work hard to make that dirt bring forth some food. You're going to be sweating. You're going to be trying to break that ground. It's going to be some hard work. Just like this woman, you're going to have some hard work to bring forth that child, baby. Well, that baby come out of there, you're going to have to carry him for 9 months, but by the time you get up in that hospital, woo, good God Almighty, you're going to feel that pain when that child trying to come up out of there. Yes, you are. You're going to feel it. Eve did that. Adam did that. And the serpent also. That's why we're going through what we're going through right now. And Adam called his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin. God says, okay, y'all know you're naked now. Can't walk around here with these leaf aprons. So I'm going to make coats of skin, and he clothed them. So that's why we wear clothes now. All of us ain't walking around naked. It's one thing to be walking around naked and not know you're naked. Who gonna question anything? If you don't know you're naked and you're walking around naked, how can you question what you don't know? Thank you, Holy Spirit. You can't. A friend of mine told me years ago, I'm going to end on this. He says, Craig, there are things you know, and there are things you don't know, but then there are things you don't know you don't know. There's a lot of truth to that statement, and the Word of God bears it out. Verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us. Us. Plural. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's the Trinity. He said, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Look at that. The tree of life will give you immortality. You won't ever die. So God said, nope, I can't have you living in that state that you're in. So God has to send angels to protect it. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the garden, that Adam get out of the Garden of Eden, to till the ground from which he was taken. Go over there and start working on that ground, tilling that ground from what you was taken up. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden, Eden, cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And we're going to end on that. So God now has to protect the tree of life. Because God says, you know, ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And if I let you eat of the tree of life, you are going to forever be in that state. You're going to live forever in the state that you're in. And I can't have that happen. See? Because the death cycle has already started. But if you eat of the tree of life, that death cycle ain't going to take you over. You're going to live forever. That tree of life is immortality. And I believe God wanted them to do that eventually, but that just never happened because they disobeyed him. So now God got to protect that tree of life, right? That tree of life is interesting if I study the scriptures out. I haven't done this. It'd be interesting to know where that tree of life is right now or if it's still there, if God has taken it away or what. But praise God. So I'm going to end right there. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. I thank you, Lord God, that the mysteries that you've revealed in this message will bless someone, that they will take this word and realize the reality of your word and realize the reality of who you are and what you have done for us. I thank you, Lord God, that as the Holy Spirit has ministered to their hearts, some of them right now want to get saved, sanctified, and filled with your spirit. I pray, Lord God, that you will move on their heart to pray this prayer and say, Heavenly Father, save me. Save me this day. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, and I thank you for saving me this day. In Jesus' name, amen. So I pray that you have prayed that prayer, and you are in the body of Christ now. And I pray that you will take the time to get you a Bible and begin to study it and meditate. And keep coming to the PNN network. Many messages are going forth across this network. God is using this network mightily to minister to many people around the world. And I thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord God, that your word is the final authority in every situation, every circumstance. I give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. May your word continue to bless those hearers and doers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Sister, are you there? Praise God.
Praise God. I'm just talking away. Thank God. Thank God on tonight. We thank God on tonight. I was just saying, people of God, amen, such a beautiful teaching. And I don't know about you, but as the word was going forth, I could just see it in my mind. I could literally see what was being said in my mind, and I tell you, it was beautiful. Just thanking God tonight, amen, how you were able to take this word and break it down to simplicity so that we can see. We can see what the Lord is saying. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have been blessed on tonight. Amen. I have been blessed on tonight by the word. Glory be to God. I believe we said, man of God, I believe that we said that we were going to, if we don't do it this time, but that we would open the line for questions.
Yes.
Did you?
Praise God.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. If somebody have any question, even now, we could probably take one or two if you have time. But that's yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. All right. So, amen. That being said, people of God, amen. We've heard the word on tonight. We have been blessed by the word on tonight. But even in your notes, and you're taking your notes, or if you have any questions in your mind, anything that you would like clarity on, you can press star six and come over to the broadcast side, amen, and pose your question tonight for the man of God. Anyone tonight have questions? Anything that was said that you were not clear on, or that you would like clarity, or that you would like a little more understanding? Anyone tonight? Any questions, just press star six. Come over on the broadcast side. Press star six on tonight. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
It doesn't look like. And I guess what we can do is on Fridays before, we just make the announcement before, so that if there's anyone that has any questions, they can be prepared to ask those questions after.
Yes,
after
praise
the
God.
Work done for. So we'll do that the next time. I know we kind of caught everybody off guard this time, but yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, and I'll make sure I cut it short, you know, to have time as well for any
mm-hmm.
questions, because God wants us to have understanding, and all you're getting, mm-hmm. get understanding. And I'm telling you, when you get the understanding of the word, it's like light comes on the inside of your heart. It's like I always wondered about that. I just never knew. And the Holy Spirit will answer that for you, and it'll bring truth to a situation or a circumstance that you're in. It's amazing how God works, because as you get that light of understanding, that's the way it happened for me, as I get the light of understanding of this word. But it also, it makes me say, that's why. It's like I had that question, but, you know, and no question is a stupid question. Every question, you know, let me just say this. This is something the Holy Spirit always shared with me. He said, questions are the answers. And there's a truth in that, because you can never get an answer unless you ask a question. And no question is, there's no such thing as a stupid question. A question means you're seeking truth. You're seeking understanding. And God wants you to have truth and understanding of his word. Because as you get understanding of his word, you'll learn how to live your life according to the word of God. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. I just thank God on tonight for the word. I tell you, one of my favorite scriptures that always captivated me, and even when you were going forth in the word, how the scripture declares that they heard the voice of the Lord walking.
Yes, you heard that too. I caught that too.
Mm-hmm,
praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they heard the voice
heard
of the Lord walking. That has always captivated me. How
mm-hmm.
in the world can they hear the voice of the
hear.
Lord walking?
Walking.
You know?
Right.
And there's so
right.
many ways that you can really look at that, you know.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it just really takes my mind there.
Right.
You know, because
that stood out
then,
to me too.
Mm-hmm.
No, go ahead.
Looking at God in the imagery, just the imagery of God,
mm-hmm.
or the Spirit of God, the voice of the Lord, my God. That's bigger than my mind can can really put together. As they say, I can't wrap my mind around it. Amen.
Well,
but that you know, some things.
Yeah.
You know, my God, the voice of the Lord walking.
Of the Lord walking, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And see, you
mm-hmm.
think about it, the spiritual realm is different from the physical realm, even though they're
Absolutely.
Parallel to each other.
Mm-hmm.
They're parallel to each other. And I thought it was interesting that, once again, like you said, they heard the voice of the Lord walking, and that ear gate, you know, still hearing in the spiritual. I'll tell you something else that blessed me with that, too, was the fact that they heard the voice of the Lord. They're human.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we can hear the voice of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
See? God has always given us a pattern. You know, he's given us processes and patterns, I believe. And even then, even though they're, once again, I believe that their spiritual eyes shut and their physical eyes open. It's
yes.
interesting that eye is what happened,
mm-hmm.
because when their physical
mm-hmm.
eyes opened, you know, they could see things that they had never seen, which means they didn't see it in the spirit because they were walking in the spirit. They were
mm-hmm.
they were living in the spirit with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before
mm-hmm.
they ate of that fruit of the tree, they're spiritual beings, and they understood how to walk in the spirit. And God's like, if you can stay in this state of spirit, that's why he tells us, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
God wants
mm-hmm.
us to worship him in the spirit, not necessarily in the physical or in the flesh.
That's
God is
right.
always looking at the heart. He's looking at the heart. And when we're truly worshiping him from the heart, God sees us
mm-hmm.
in the spirit and says, that's
mm-hmm.
true worship. You know, and he
mm-hmm.
wants us to, he wants us to worship him. So, and you know, he says, walk in the spirit so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
Everything is going back to that spirit. You know, that spirit walk in the spirit, worship in the spirit. So that realm of the spirit is where God wants us to live, and that's where Adam and Eve lived prior to eating of the fruit of the tree. And
mm-hmm.
that's what started. But God says that's why we have to be born again, so we can begin to learn and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I believe those spiritual gifts. Remember the spiritual gifts, you know,
mm-hmm.
the gifts that God has, those are spiritual gifts, not fleshy gifts.
Mm-hmm.
So he called them spiritual gifts. God don't just put a word, like I said, now faith. He didn't put now in there just to say now faith. There's a reason. There's a type of faith called now faith. It's not past faith. It's not future faith. It's faith that is now.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants us, and that's present tense. God wants us to operate in the now. Now faith is, you know, so all these things that are spiritual, it's hard to wrap our head around it because we can, because God gives us discernment, but people who don't know Christ yet, they can't. They can't even begin
mm-hmm.
to discern spiritual things
mm-hmm.
because the Holy Spirit has to come on the inside and quicken their spirit to bring it, make it alive. When Adam and Eve separated from God, that separation, you know, caused some issues and some problems. But, yeah, praise God. I know
mm-hmm.
I'm going too deep into the conversation, but yeah, we will definitely have the questions, and I'm telling you, I think that even a conversation, you know, we've talked about this too. Like, I love the way you interacted with that, you know, how we interact with each other and understand
mm-hmm.
things. I think that'll benefit a lot of people too, because they'll be like, yeah, that's the question I had. That's a great question,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, or
mm-hmm.
I was just thinking that. And then once they get that light of understanding, you know, the world says the light bulb came on. I think it's interesting they say the light bulb came on. When they
That's
get an idea,
true.
They understand something, right? There's a lot of truth
mm-hmm.
to that. God's light
mm-hmm.
shines, exposes,
right.
and reveals. Okay?
That's right.
It shines, it exposes, and it reveals hidden wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Things that have been hidden
mm-hmm.
for us but not from us. So.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
It is
yeah.
powerful. It is powerful.
Glory to God.
Yes, and I thank God. So, people of God, just remember that on next Friday, come with your heart open, your ears open, your eyes open, as we delve into the word. And I just thank God, because even as you said, man of God, there were so many things that you said. It's like you said, light bulb moments. You know, the light of God just shined. It's like, okay, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but
yeah,
we're not.
Now
So we give God thanks and praise on tonight. And as always, we do want to give you, people of God, an opportunity. The man of God has prayed the prayer of salvation for those that are listening. And we believe by faith that if that was you, amen, and you gave your life to the Lord, we celebrate you, because we do realize that there are several people that listening that are listening on the radio side that we may never know, or we may never hear them make their confession before the Lord. But we believe by faith. We believe by faith, yeah, that even as they hear, and this is why we always, always open the door. Amen. Because it's about kingdom. People of God, it's about,
yes,
kingdom.
It
it's about getting people in the kingdom. Translate
in the kingdom.
Them out of darkness into the kingdom. And once you come to the kingdom, I like what you said, man of God, find you a church, a Bible-believing,
yes,
church, and do,
yes,
continue to come to the PNN. Amen. Because we're learning. We're,
yes,
gaining. We're changing. We're being transformed. I was thinking,
yes,
about, and I'm sorry, I was thinking about earlier today, we come, we discipline ourselves to come to hear the word of God. And even as the scripture says, faith comes by hearing. And we're hearing the,
yes,
word of God. And people of God, listen, change has to be happening in your life. Change,
yes,
has to be happening. There's no way that we can come and listen to this word day in and day out, and maybe skip a time or two there or here or whenever. But as we're coming listening to this word, this living word, change has to be happening.
Yes.
In our lives. Amen.
Yes.
So we,
amen,
thank God for the change. We thank God for the change. You may not be able to see it right now, but just know that it is happening. Amen. So we thank,
amen,
God tonight, man of God. And if there's anyone that would like to have prayer on tonight, anyone that would like to have prayer on tonight, man of God, we want to give you the platform, release the platform back to you for those that would like to have a special prayer either for themselves or for their loved ones. Anyone tonight, anyone tonight.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Doesn't,
well, I
want to
say,
like,
these last,
know,
words for each,
mm-hmm,
of you all. I want to just say this word to you all from the Lord, and I'm just, blesses me to say this. I want to read something that I came across that just really blesses me, and I won't read the whole thing, but just some of it, and I pray that it will bless you. It's an intimate message from God to you. Imagine this is God writing to you, and he's telling you this. He's saying, my child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down, when you rise up. I'm familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs of your head are numbered. You were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived, and I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I am your father, and I love you even as I love my son Jesus. In him, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins against you. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home. I'll throw the biggest party in heaven has ever seen for you. I have always been Father and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I'm waiting. Love, your dad, Almighty God. I leave you with that message, that letter, that God loves you, praise God. And I pray that this moved upon your heart and that our Lord Jesus Christ will come into your heart. Stay faithful. Ask him to live through you and in you. Pray, read the scriptures, continue to listen to the word, and be obedient to the word of God. My prayer for you is that God will use you mightily on this earth for his glory. And I give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Father. And I thank you for this message for the hearts of your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Tonight, glory to God again. We give God thanks and praise for all that he said on tonight, all that, glory to God, our ears have heard, all that our hearts do understand on tonight. We just bless God. And people of God, listen, we want to give you an opportunity to get a copy of this broadcast. It is absolutely free to you. You can simply text us on tonight and we will get the copy sent to your phone. We'll send the link directly to your phone. And the first number is 912-257-3918. Again, that's 912-357-2918. Also, people of God, you can reach out to us via Facebook. Our Prayer News Network page, go out to our Prayer News Network page, or you can go to our prayer group, the ReArp Prayer Group 52, the new ReArp Prayer Group 52. You can go out there as well and listen to the broadcast. Also, don't forget our international listeners, you can reach out to us via WhatsApp, and that number is 678-608-2234. Again, that's 678-608-7234. So people of God, we're trying to make sure that everybody and anybody can get this word of life, this word that brings life. Amen. We're trying to put it out there, make it accessible. So we want you to help us to send it. Help us to send this word out to the people so that someone can hear and be blessed. Amen. So we thank God on tonight again for the man of God again. We thank God for your diligence, for your persistence, glory to God, and to be right where, in the right place at the right time. We know that the enemy is always fighting, but we praise God for victory. We praise God for victory in every situation on tonight. Now, Father, we bless you. We thank you tonight. We glorify you, oh God. We lift you on high. We come on tonight, oh Father, just to tell you thank you. Thank you for all
thank
that
you.
Our ears have heard. Thank you for a heart to understand. In the precious name of Jesus, Father, we glorify you on tonight. Father, we're asking you to cause this word that rests in our hearts, and you be glorified. You be glorified in our lives. Cause this word, oh God, not to fall on stony ground, but cause it to fall on good ground in
good
the precious
ground.
Name of Jesus. And we're asking you tonight, we're asking that you bless your servant now. We're asking that you bless him even now, Father. Meet his every need, his every desire. We're asking that you move in a mighty way. In the name of Jesus, Father, let your will be done in his life. Thy kingdom come in his life on tonight, O God. In the precious name of Jesus, Father, we'll ask that you bless his going out, bless his coming in from this time forth and forevermore. We're asking on tonight, even as he's given out to your people, we're asking that you restore now. Restore, glory to God, virtue unto him in the precious name of Jesus. Father, fill him up. Fill him up the more we pray. In the precious name of Jesus, Father, we're asking you tonight, oh God, to illuminate him even the more. Cause your light to shine upon him. Your light, oh glory to God. Light bulb moments, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we're asking, oh God, that the spirit of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding with your God, endow him, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus. Father, we give you thanks for every gift that you place within him. Father, we're thanking you for the stirring tonight. Thank you for the stirring of every gift in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you. We thank you now. We honor, we glorify you now, oh God. Cover him in your shed blood. Cover him, oh God, and he shall be covered in the name of Jesus. Cover his household. Cover, oh God, his family. Cover everything that is attached to him. Cover in your shed blood, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Father, shield him from the hand and the plan of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, Father, cause him, oh God, to stand in a holy place. And for this we give you thanks. For this we give you praise. For this we give you glory. We give you honor. In thy precious name, Jesus. Glory be to God. Now, Father, we're asking that you would hide him behind your precious cross. Cover him in your shed blood, oh God. Cover, and he shall be covered. For this we give you thanks. For this we give you praise. For this word, for this your servant, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless him. We bless him. We bless them again on tonight, man of God. And Lord God, we're going to turn the platform back over to you, amen, for the final word on tonight, amen, and for the benediction, the dismissal of the line. Blessings on you.
Praise God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity, Lord God, again. Thank you, Lord God, that you will continue to let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, you are our strength and our redeemer. Bless the hearers of this word and the doers of this word. And, Lord God, for those who got saved tonight, change their life. Set them free, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God. Protect them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, people of God. And that does conclude tonight's broadcast. We will see you on tomorrow night. Oh, wait a minute. People of God, I do have an important announcement that I need to get out. We have an important announcement that we must get out to you. Listen, so tomorrow night, starting tomorrow night for the next 10 nights, we will be rebroadcasting for the next 10 nights. I'm actually going to a conference, and so we will be rebroadcasting. But what we will need you to do, we will need you to plug in to the radio side. So don't call this free conference call 339-209-6891. We need you to whip those pencils out. I'm going to give you a number for you to call so that you can plug into the radio side that will be going forth on tomorrow night through the, I think it's through the 30, through the 31st. Amen. Glory to God. The number that you will dial is 319-527-6794. And again, that's 319-527-6794. One more time, 319-527-6794. We'll also change the greeting on our dial-in for anyone that dials in. We will redirect them to go to the radio side to listen to the rebroadcast. Amen. We just give God thanks and praise, people of God, that we never have to stop, but the Lord just keeps on making a way. Aren't you glad? Yes.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. I thank God for that light. I thank God for that light. Yes, sir.
Yes.
He enlightened me. Because I was wondering, Lord, how am I going to do this? And the Lord just spoke to me, literally spoke to me and told me how to do it. Amen. So, people of God,
Amen.
So that you won't skip a beat, you won't miss anything, just dial in to the radio broadcast side, amen, for the next 10 days. And we look to see you, people of God. We want to say on tonight, happy holidays to you. Happy, happy holidays. God bless you. Be safe, you and your family. We do love you. We do appreciate you. And we truly do thank God for you. That does conclude tonight's broadcast. And we will see you, amen, Jesus, next year. Amen. Blessings on
amen.
You.
Amen.
This session is no longer being recorded. Goodbye.